Okay, this morning's parasha shiur is being sponsored by Howie and Lisa Rubin and family in memory of Howie's mother, Mrs. Sima Rubin Aleh Shalom, Sima Asna Bas Matisyahu HaKohen, in the merit of the Torah learning that we do together, her neshama should have an aliyah. I really feel, at the same time, completely humbled and awed by the sheer magnitude of Rav Hirsch's commentary on Parshas Vayikra. And unfortunately, because of that, we're not really going to be able to do justice to it. Rav Hirsch's commentary on Vayikra is 200 pages long, just on Sefer Vayikra. And because of my own schedule this week, I was not able to look at all 200 pages. But what's even more incredible is that we've been learning the Parsha together for the last 12 years, some of us here. And over the past 7 years, I've taken, you know, just one commentary each year. And usually when you get to Vayikra, the Karbanos, it's like, you know, sometimes it can get a little dry in terms of the technicalities of the Karbanos. Rav Hirsch is absolutely unbelievable. Every single nuance of every Karban, he finds deep symbolism and meaning and so incredible. And again, we're just going to only touch the tip of the iceberg this morning. But he has 200 pages of commentary just on Parshas Vayikra. It's absolutely unbelievable, and I started getting into it. There's just so much to say. In 40 minutes, we're not gonna do it justice. But I'll do my best. Let's begin where we usually begin, which is at the beginning. Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem Elav Ma'olam Leimor Daber El Bnei Yisrael Mat Aleihem Adam. So the pasuk starts Daber El Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. But then say to them, Adam, ki akrib mikem. This word Adam, Rav Hirsch points out, is not usually the word that you'll find in the Torah to describe, you know, Bnei Yisrael, to describe Jews. Rav Hirsch sees in the word Adam an allusion to the fact, very fascinating aspect of the Beis HaMikdash and of Karbanos that I don't think is usually primarily on our minds that much. And that is that there are certain sources that indicate that not only Jews are supposed to look at the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash as their center, but the Jewish people are also supposed to reach out not only to reach out to non-Jews in terms of allowing non-Jews to bring sacrifices, karbanos, in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, the famous words that we recite, certainly in the month of Elul, V'havi'osem el ha'kodshi v'simachtim b'veis tefilasi. Right, that we've spoken about this, that the Beis HaMikdash is viewed as a central location, not just for the Jewish people. And I think that speaks a little bit to, you know, the sources that would indicate that we're in Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to be in Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to not only be a model of ethical monotheism to ourselves and our own children and a Torah way of life, but in a different way, we're supposed to view Judaism as interacting with the nations of the world to provide a central location for them to actually engage in their own religious pursuits also, as we're going to see in a moment. Take a look. Tchila hirchev sanosei b'nei Yisrael ide klal adam. Kach berosh toras hakabanos harayu posech shal l'chol adam ba'asher hu v'lo rak l'adam miYisrael kol adam zakai lakav karban bebeis hamikdash eloshon atnai kiyakru l'amanu shemidu akam b'ikar b'nidarim b'nidavos. We're talking about optional sacrifices, nidarim b'nidavos u'beferish nemar b'torah shebal peh shenachrim nodrim nidarim b'nidavos ki Yisrael gemarin chulin. Non-Jews can bring optional sacrifices. We got Rashi. Tovis says Adam ha'omer kan b'mashma usel harachava. Have omer haloshem kolel says kol ha'enushut, all of humanity. V'lo rak es Yisrael. The language is supposed to include all of humanity, not just Jews. Yishtomash hadvar mo'en gam l'das from Shimon bar Yochai. Ha'mafarish says Adam l'fam b'mashma mitzum tzem. Asher Adam ne'mar kan k'nigod el b'nei Yisrael shel fanav. Here, Adam is in as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, which is the words right beforehand. B'shem kach ha'kol modim sh'adam is parish kan kechlal b'mash musa harachava. So because of this, everyone agrees that Adam here means even non-Jews. Nim says omer lo hiskadmos rucho hanoro shel shlomo. Now Rav Hirsch here waxes Getty. this is so fascinating what he says. Okay, I wish I forgot to bring in the English. You have to hear it in the English, this. He basically says, don't say, now I don't know who he's reacting to here. But he's saying, don't say that this idea of allowing non-Jews to bring karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash was the cosmopolitan and progressive view of Shlomo HaMelech. His kadmos rucha hanero shel Shlomo harchives ha'ofakim ha'mtzumtzum shel das Moshe. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu only wanted a very narrow view of the Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo opened it up. He was like a modern, progressive maverick. Don't say that. V'hashir es musag ha'kel mukdash adei hashkafa rechava kosmopolitit. A cosmopolitan. Ki kvar psichas toras ha'kabana shel das Moshe. Rav Hirsch says, no, this wasn't something new. This is something that was clearly in the Torah. Adam ki akriv mikem. Even non-Jews can bring karbanos. And he quotes again that pasuk. There is a universal dimension to Judaism. There is a universal dimension that non-Jews are allowed to bring karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Speaks to the fact that the Beis HaMikdash and Judaism in general, in its purest sense, is supposed to be an Or LaGoyim, a model to the world on how one is supposed to serve. Again, the non-Jews aren't supposed to keep 613 mitzvos, but they are encouraged to bring sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash to view the one God of Israel as the God of the whole world, and their God as well. And he quotes the pasuk of Aviyos and Hakachi Bismach and Yisrosi. Again, I think that has relevance to us nowadays as well in terms of our attitude towards non-Jews and our being role models to non-Jews about how one is supposed to be, about ethical monotheism. And that's one thing that we could bring to the world. And it should be a primary focus of us, especially those of us who interact with the non-Jewish world at all times. Again, Howie, we thank you. I mentioned at the beginning that the shiur is dedicated to Leila Nishmas, Howie's mother, Sima Rubin, Allah Shalom, Sima Osna Bas Matas Yo HaKoin. Hopefully, Nishama should have an aliyah with the learning that we do. Thank you very much. Now, continues of Hirsch, while Adam expands, who brings a karban? So the word mikem famously constricts it. And Rav Hirsch points out the fascinating contrast between the fact that mikem excludes a heretic. A Jewish heretic is excluded, even as a non-Jewish believer is included. And even within the Jewish heretic who's excluded, the Baal Aveira is not excluded. So Rav Hirsch points out that, and the main thing that we're going to learn this morning are Rav Hirsch's beautiful, beautiful words about what a karban really is and what it's supposed to be. And the question is how we can inculcate and incorporate that into our lives today, even without a karban. So,
I was always wondering if our shuls today are Migdash Ma'at and Tfila is in place of karbanos.
Yeah,
we don't seem to have any push to include Gayim in our shuls.
Right, today. Right. Rav Hirsch does not address that issue. That's a good point. That's a very good point. We don't have that option. So how do we even have the Doma? I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. But he does point out that there's that the next piece, you know, does have a lot of relevance. He says like this: Ulam bo'tevas Adam archivas anos hareat tosefes mikem mitzamtzemes oso. Adam expands who can bring carbon. Mikem constricts it. Ela should simtzum zemes yachis raklu b'nei Yisrael. Right, someone who's an apostate, who has, you know, who is a heretic, is not permitted to bring a sacrifice. But, says Rav Hirsch, this does not mean just because we exclude the heretic, he's going to say a Mechal Shabbos, but Farhesia, he's going to say some other people like that, just because we exclude them, doesn't mean we exclude somebody who's got a big Yetzirah and he's a big Baal Aveira. Quite the contrary. For the person who actually believes, he believes, just he's got a big Yetzirah and he's a Baal Taiva. That's exactly who the Karbanos are actually for, as he's going to explain. Shaharei miyadu omer mina behema lovi bnei adam shadomu lebehema. Mina behema, the Gemara has a drasha, that if you're a ben adam who's domu lebehema, so then you are allowed to bring. Hein ze kol atzo shal karban. That's the whole point of a karban. Hama, as he's going to explain pretty soon, in the next couple of paragraphs. Hamakriv maybe bo es bechinas habehema shebo. Because one of the things that a person who brings the karban is he's bringing the aspect of him that's a behema. That's what you're being makriv. That's what you're trying to sacrifice. That's what you're trying to elevate. That's what you're trying to bring to the next level, to grow and to change and to develop. And somehow, the bringing of this karban, and again, Joel, I would argue, nowadays, one of the primary functions of tefillah that are in place of the karbanos is to do that, to elevate a person, to try to subjugate the Yetzirah and to through closeness to Hashem, through a life of dedication and devotion and closeness to God, through tefillah and Torah and service and all the other things, because Torah plays a big role. Rav Hirsch keeps stressing that Torah plays a very big role based on this as well. The whole point of the Mishkan was to house the Luchos, and which highlighted the centrality of Torah. Me'ol Moed, in other words, Me'ol Moed. I skipped it, I didn't do it. But in the words Me'ol Moed, the very first pasuk, right? Why Me'ol Moed? Me'ol Moed means from the place that housed the Luchos. But anyway, Zu Shodena Tzuna Zikuk. Barehu Mekadesh Umezakik. Mezakik means to purify. Es Yitzrav Hachushaniyim. Sensory. Al Yidei Etzem Ha'akravash Ala Bahami Shabadim. Mikan Amru. Mekablam Karbanos Miposhe Yisrael Kadesh Yachzurem Betshuva. Statement of the Gemara. That we accept karbanos from the sinners, hoping that these sacrifices and the experience of coming to Beis HaMikdash, seeing the karbanos, seeing the experiencing just the place, will bring them closer. Just bring them to that place, right? It's hard to know. What is it about going to the Kotel that makes people, that somehow inspires people? At the end of the day, it's just a wall. No? What is it? But apparently there is something about the Makom HaMikdash, about interacting with the Ribbono Shel Olam, about feeling the presence of Kedusha there. There is something. I think I've said in the Shir many times, I have a cousin who once went on Har HaBayis. You know, you can walk on certain areas. Har HaBayis, if you know where you're going, so you have to be careful not to go everywhere. There's places that you're not allowed to go, but some places, even on Har HaBayis, he said when he went on Har HaBayis, he just had the most incredible feeling. You can't describe the feeling of what it was like to walk on Har HaBayis. Just this intense feeling. We have a tradition that the Shechina ain't a betela, right? The Rambam says the Shechina ain't a betela. In terms of the concentration and intensity of Hashem's Shechina on the Makom HaMikdash, it's still there. And apparently, when you went and came to the Beis HaMikdash and you brought a carbon, you went through the whole process, what is it about a shul, about davening, that inspires a person? He thinks about the Shechina, he thinks about, there seems to be something that impacts the Jew there. Nismayit rak hamumar, shekar nitag es kol havayosim en ayadus, or hamumar lavod azar. Kach nismayit mumar l'chil Shabbos b'farhesia, right? If you're a mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, you can't bring a carbon. That's dino kamumar, the Gemara says. She dino kamumar lavod azar ayin chulun sham. Ulai zed tamash halacha zu. So Rav Hirsch is struggling. Why is it that a non-Jew can bring a carbon, but a Jew who has punted his Judaism can't? So he wants to give the following explanation, which I think is a little instinctive. Ulai zed tamash halacha zu hamama etes Yehudim misnakrim achmar benochrim mileda mizbeach shehukam bidei Yehudim yikapech es Yehudo. Right, the mizbeach, which was built by Jews to serve Hashem, would be totally forfeiting its entire purpose if it were to allow sacrifices bought by heretics. But in terms of non-Jews, bringing non-Jews into the fold, quite the contrary. That's part of the purpose. That's the whole goal of Beis HaMikdash, to show the world what ethical monotheism is about. Once you've already chucked the whole spirit of Judaism, so it's not for you. So he develops this idea. Let's continue further. Now let's get to the main point here, Rabbi Say. The main point. What is a carbon? And gentlemen, again, for those who weren't here, my introduction. Again, Vayikrit Sab Shmini Tazriya Mitzorah Achremos. Okay, you know, so much about carbonos, this type of carbon, that one, the blood, the guts, the everything. So, you know, Rav Hirsch's commentary on Vayikra is 200 pages long. And it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking. I don't think I've seen a commentary in the last 7 years we've gone through. I don't think I've seen a commentary who takes every dimension, every small aspect of a carbon. First of all, the breadth of his knowledge is absolutely incredible. But aside from the knowledge, just he finds deep meaning and symbolism in every single tiny drop of nuance of halacha. It's absolutely unbelievable. And again, we're not going to do it justice for various reasons, mostly the constriction of time and also the constriction of my time this past week. But let's take a look at what he talks about a carbon. What's a carbon? What's a carbon? The Judaism puts such, you know, we're not like in the business of carbonos, right? You and I. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're not in the business. But when the Beis HaMikdash was built, carbon was a primary role of service. It was the primary role. You know, the carbon tamid shel shachar, carbon tamid shel b'yambar, nedarim, nedavos, carbon chatas, carbon ola, carbon shlomim, carbon mincha, nesachim. This was the main part of the service of a Jew. This was the main thing. So what's a carbon? So he just starts off in classic of Hirsch fashion. What's the word all about? What's the etymology of the word? So look what he says. Ein biyadenu mila lo aziz hamavates es hamusag hakarbon l'ishiro. We do not have a good translation for the word carbon. There is no good English, German, word for the idea of a carbon. Hatargum hashagor hu offering. Mila zu shenigzra mina latinit ofero. Kshura efo lohoras hagasha. I'm bringing something to you. But says Rav Hirsch, you're not bringing a present to Hashem. Hashem doesn't need your presence. Ach, l'ro ha-mazal hi kibla gavan shel sacrifice, horos korban. And he said, not only that, but the world has taken the word korban and used the word sacrifice, which has a very negative connotation. Horat korban, it's like destruction, hashmada v'hefseid. Right, I'm sacrificing means like I'm giving up something. I'm like destroying something. Vizu zarav af minugedet musaga karbana ivri. He says this is so far. The word sacrifice is such a bad translation. He said such a bad translation. Ulam gamar makrichel shon ofero hagasha inenatomes karban. But it's also even a gift is also not the same thing. Shekin kol makom shatam motzei hagasha sham kadma mashelav drishim itadzeh shachivitz mugashelav. Anytime you have an offering, a gift, it means somebody asked for it. And the point of it is to fulfill the desires, or at least the needs, of the taker, not the giver. Ein lafrid ben agasha levein matas matana. Ach, musaga karban rachok mikalela. A karban is not a gift. It's not sacrifice. It's not for the benefit of the person you're giving it to. It's not for the benefit of the Rabbonu Shalom. L'olam ein pirusha matas matana. Hu matsui rak behekshe shal ben adam l'makom. Karban is only found in the relationship between man and God. And you can't understand it. If ein lavin oto, ella! The only way to understand karban is looking at the root of the word karov. Karev. Ella al pi ha'orat ha'shoresh karev. Hein pirush karev kemashmao. Lehit karev. The goal of bringing this fat, bloody, sinewy animal, stinking, smelly animal. The goal of bringing this ferd, this cow, the goal of bringing this sheep, this goat, this smelly goat, the goal of bringing this is hiskarvos, liskarev, lahagia lidei achasim hadukim in ploni, to come tight, like yeah, it's related to that, but haduk means tight in ploni. Emor me'ata hatachlit v'atotzaah shel akrava hi hasagah chiyuvit shel kiyum na'ale yoter. It's not a negative relationship. It's not destructive. It's not slaughtering and shechting. No. It's a positive attainment of relationship. The carbon is there to provide benefit for the bringer of the sacrifice, not for the receiver of the sacrifice. The idea of the carbon is that some physical possession of yours, of the bringer of the carbon, should be elevated to the service of God, should be elevated, and through the bringing and giving and sacrificing and slaughtering and mostly elevating, that something of yours now became holy and sanctified. And through that, you develop a closeness and you elevate yourself by bringing this piece of you, this piece of your property. By bringing this piece of your property, the goal is to elevate yourself, to jump into that relationship. Ratzon hamakriv, shedavar mishalo yagia lidei yachasim krovim im Hashem. Ze kol atzmo shel hakarbon va'peula miyuedes lahavi lidei kach kriya hakrava. Tachlis hakarbon, tachlis, and here's the main part of the whole shiur this morning. Tachlis hakarbon hi kirvas adam. I'm going to try to keep my breath while I say it to you. Tachlis hakarbon hi kirvas elokim. The goal of a karbon is closeness to God. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, kirvas elokim yech patsun. They will desire chafetz. Zu kirvas elokim shehi hatov hayachid la'adam Yisrael. This is what all of Judaism is about in a nutshell. If you had to define what all of Judaism is in one word, or two words as the case may be, kirvas Elokim, closeness to God, avodas Hashem, that's what it's all about. Elevating our possessions to God, elevating our material, the food that we eat, to God, elevating the work that we do for God, elevating the money that we make by giving charity and helping out those unfortunate, all of this, kirvas Elokim, that is what life's all about. Right? He quotes, shehi atov hayachid la'adam Yisrael. So kirvas, karov, karban, what's karban about? Kirvas Elokim. Shebiladeha hu chash kebehemos miurtal, naked mikol yud ha'adam. Without it, you're an animal. B'mikdashei kel yavin ha'adam shekirvas elokim hi knei mida, the measuring stick, yachid, the only measuring stick. In the Beis HaMikdash, man would come to understand, and our shuls and Batei Medrash hopefully provide the same function for us as well. In the Beis HaMikdash brings a person to the understanding. B'mikdashei kel yavin adam shekirvas elokim hi knei mida yachid lahashkafat olamo ulaharachat oshro. Sham, badvir uvahechal. In the bigger building and the smaller building, Yisbar elo she'oshro haruchani, your spiritual richness. Well, osher, that's with an ayin. Osher, the spiritual joy, v'hachomri, and the physical, yitpateach rak bekirvas Hashem uveshilton das kel. V'zu kol achrit yiudo. B'chotzer yomad שהדרך היחידה להשגת קרבת השם היא ההסמסרוס לאש דוס, המאירה והמזקקס והמחיה. Wow. In the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, a person would learn that the only way to achieve closeness to God is hismasrus le'esh dos, ha-me'ira v'ha-mezakekes v'ha-mechayeh, giving yourself over to the consuming fire that lights up and purifies and gives life. Sham niftaros chidos hachayim. There, in that place in the Beis HaMikdash, the riddles of life would be solved. Sham tuluya midas ha'osha b'midas kirvas Hashem. Sham kala sha'ari ulavavi. Basar v'ruach nechsafim sham l'kel chai. Flesh and spirit yearn there for closeness to God. V'lomdim l'das es Hashem. Sham kol richuk me'Hashem mevi li'idei avadon. There, any distance from God brings a person to despair. Rechakecha yovedu. Sham hatov matzui rak b'kirvas Hashem. There, man understood, in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, in Beis HaMikdash, man understood that true goodness is only found in Kirvas Hashem. Yes, sir, okay. Not only is goodness only found in Kirvas Hashem, but only Kirvas Hashem is goodness. Those two things are not exactly the same thing. You got to think about that for a minute, but only the good can only be found in closeness to God, at the same time that only closeness to God is truly good. As David HaMelech said in Tehillim, succinctly, Va'ani kirvas Hashem li tov. That's it. Va'ani kirvas Hashem li tov. Closeness to God, said King David, that is good. And only that is good. Kach ovad tamo shel ha'osher im hu matzi berichuk me'Hashem. And for a person who understands this about Judaism, there is no joy for him that is far away from God. Somehow those joys and pleasures of this earth that are far away from God lose their luster for someone who really understands what closeness to God is about. They lose their luster. And to the contrary, Ve'ilu b'kirvas Hashem ha'yisur mismaskim. Look, listen to this beautiful poetry from Rav Hirsch. I can describe it no other way than poetry. He says that for that person who has achieved closeness to God in his life, pleasure outside of that realm loses its luster, and pain, the pains and challenges and vicissitudes and difficulties and all of the tragic aspects of life somehow find meaning for that person who has that closeness. Even the pains and the challenges, when you have that closeness, somehow are sweetened. Exactly. V'ilu b'kirvas Hashem ha'yisurim mismaskim matok. The yisurim become sweet. V'af heim hofchim l'tov. Even they turn into good. Ki b'migdashe kel mizdakekes kol ruach v'nefesh. La'avin v'lachush ma'tov la'adam achtov li'yisrael kim l'vari levav. Yeah, I should probably quote excerpts. I haven't had a chance to really read it yet. But, last night there was a yard site celebration for a friend of mine, a DRS parent, unfortunately, who passed away last year. He was totally, completely healthy one day, just passed away the next day. And they read there a letter of another one of my classmates who who 2 years ago lost his wife to cancer at a very young age and has since remarried. And he didn't read the whole letter, and I asked, it's a good friend of mine, so I asked him to send me the whole letter, but part of the letter was, you know, of how much he grew and learned and became elevated through the tragedy. He said, the hole will never go away. The hole in his life will never go away, but you could still rejoice afterwards. You could stand. And he talked about how much he learned and grew and developed and you know, from this experience, but and also that you could, you know, he's since remarried, and so you could also, you can't think that you're never going to rejoice again. You're never going to have, you're never going to, you could still, there's hope. You could still rejoice again. You could still have simcha again. The hole will never go away, but that doesn't mean you can't still have simcha. He just had a very beautiful way of expressing it. I didn't read the whole thing inside, but Rav Hirshir is saying that when a person has a life that is fundamentally based on Kirvas Elokim, so even tragedy and pain can find sweetness. It can find sweetness again. So this is carbon. This is carbon, and carbon means for us that karov, a kirvas Hashem, closeness to God. That's the ikur, that's the bottom line of being a Jew. The bottom line of being a Jew is that's the goal. That's the goal in all that we do, to elevate our lives, that they be spiritual lives, that they be lives that have meaning, that have closeness to God, that are lives filled with the study of Torah and with tefillah and with chesed and with helping people and with all that Judaism, the mitzvos, all that Judaism represents. And let's continue. I have time for maybe one or two more little small shots here. But first, again, there's so much poetry here. I'm not gonna do it justice. We'll do two last points. Okay, three last points. Three last points. First, Karban Lashem, right? Adam Kiyakrim Mikem Karban Lashem. Rav Hirsh points out that the Torah will only use the name of God of Yud Kei Vav Kei when talking about a karban. It will never, Reach Nikoach Lashem, will never use the word Elokim in the context of a karban. And he highlights that on top of the next page, Kilo b'midas hadin shel kel nekamos yizachar kanakel. This is to further distance the idea that, you know, God is the God of cultic sacrifice and God delights in blood and negativity and destruction. Ein Hashem doris sipul ha'idah karbon karayin ha'hevel shal ha'kfir ha'alit. Ein v'akish nekamav. He's not a vengeful God b'shoif l'dam. And he accepts this poor, slaughtered animal as an exchange for a person who's chayiv misa. Loki, El Hashem Hashem. Right, the name of Elokim is the God of justice, the God of punishment. Right, that's the, so. No, the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the life-giving, positive name of God. El Hashem Hashem Nikol Hakarbon V'Midas Haracham Emizachem. How's a carbon midas harachamim? It's slaughter. It's sacrifice. No. Hu yiskala b'chol milo acheres shel acheset hamave kol chai. U'mechadish lo havai u'manik lo asin mechudash. Carbon represents the God who gives life. Who gives life. Who gives a future to all of us. Itzumo shel hakarbon einenu hamata. It's not a death. The carbon's not about death. It's about giving life. Ela techayev v'chidush havaya. Achein hisorus uskuma ruchanit musarit. The awakening and tikuma, elevation, strengthening of spiritual strengthening. Knisa l'chayim na'alim. With a carbon, you enter into a stronger and more vital and more elevated life. Utehorim v'achlofas koach l'chayim eila mitoch makar loach zav shel chesed Hashem. Zeu rayon ha-korban b'Yisrael. Ma shemeis sham, that which dies when you bring a korban, meis mishakvar, already died a long time ago. What does he mean by that? That which died already died a long time ago. Look how he explains. Hu achela kameis sheba adam. That's the part of man that has died. What's that? What yeshecht? Yeshechted your yetzahara, which was dead a long time ago. Ma, meaning when you decided to bring the carbon. Ma she avad sham hu davar avud. Rak kol od hu rachok me Hashem. This which was killed was the physical body of the animal. That's something that's transient, that's not of eternal value, only so long as it's distanced from God. But when you bring that dead carcass as a sacrifice, you elevate it, you grow from it. Ve'ilu b'kirvas Hashem hu yitol eschelko b'kiyam nitzchi b'ratzon Hashem. This dead carcass, this smelly, bloody, dead carcass, earns its place in the permanent, everlasting service of Hashem. Shem Hashem anikra al korban mazim gamis pitputei ha'apikorsim shel hayom. Right? This totally contradicts the drivel, the meaningless drivel of the people who would assign to Judaism the cultic, barbaric religion of animal sacrifice. That's point number one. Point number two, he talks about, okay, we're going to skip the next little piece. Now, the final piece, basically I'll just summarize it very briefly. In the final piece of Hirsch talks about something very important. And it's a little bit politically incorrect. An animal that has a mum cannot be brought as a carbon. An animal that has a defect. Rav Hirsch understands, and similarly, the animal has to be tamim, complete, whole. So in these two points, Rav Hirsch stresses, you could do it for homework, he stresses that Judaism is not just a religion for the downtrodden and for those who can't find any other, couldn't find anything else better to do with their time. Judaism is supposed to be a lechatchila religion, a positive, complete whole. We shouldn't view it as like, if you're a schlepper, if you're a nachschlepper, if you can't make it, if you're a low yitzlach anyway, okay, so you'll go be the ones in shul, you'll go be the daveners and the learners and the religious leaders, the nachschleppers. No. You have to have your best and most beautiful. That's, you should be your proudest of those who serve Hashem with all of their talents and abilities. The most talented and the most successful. They should be the Jewish leaders. They should be setting the standards. And then he says, finally, Tamimus, right? Zachar Tamim Yakrivenu. Take a look. We made it up to Pasuk Gimel. HaKarban Mevatei, and we'll close with this. HaKarban Mevatei is Tiv Yachaseinu El Hashem. The carbon expresses the nature of our relationship with God. Ach, Tamimus Hitnai Rishon Liachazeh. You got to be all in. All in. Ain't no such thing as half a Jew, three quarters of a Jew. Either you're all in or you're not in. And that doesn't mean you don't sometimes mess up. But in principle, you got to be all in. Tamimus. Ve'ein tamimus amashem ela bittel kol yeshu seinu elav. It is a complete subjugation of our entire essence to him. Hu shenemar. V'chol uvavcha, uvachol nafshecha, uvachol meodecha. Hare zuma skana yishira shel min ha-mitzvah shenemar lan b'rishona v'yisem li segula. I want you to be an exclusive, special nation to me. Ki mitzvah zu manichas evan ha-yisod shel kol yudenu. Yachaseinu el Hashem yakif as ha-kol lelo shiur, nothing left over. Lelo siag, no fence. Ata mum shenimtza bebehemas karban, a mum that's found in an animal who pigam ba'adam ha-miskare. A mum in an animal is a pagam in the person who's trying to come close. Ki ha'eder ha'pagam, because that broken leg symbolizes es echad mitchume ishiyuso. That symbolizes one area of your personality. Utchum zek far yatsa michlalas masus l'Hashem. That's a lacking in your being willing. It symbolizes a lacking in your being willing to give over something of yours to God. Something's not perfect. Something's not complete with you. Something's not whole. You're holding something back. By bringing an animal that has a mum, it symbolizes that there's something that you're not willing to give. There's something that you're holding back. Wow. Utchum zek far yatsa michlal hismasus al Hashem. Ein ha'adam miskasher Hashem b'shleimus b'chol yeshuso v'chol yachasav. You're still holding something back. You're keeping something that you're not willing to give to God. It symbolizes the fact that you don't want a perfect animal. You don't want your like Cain and Hevel, right? You don't want to give your best stuff. You don't want to give all that you have. By bringing it, you couldn't find a perfect animal. You had to bring one with a broken leg. What are you holding back? Well, why is your service half-cheeked and half-baked? Ulam ha-maskana yishira me-emunat ha-achdut hi-ismasus gur Hashem. U-maskanas mitzvah shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem lakein Hashem achad means ve-ahavta Hashem lakecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'udecha. That's the definition. That's what it is. U-maskanas mitzvah shema yimitzvah ve-ahavta. Ve-kach kol ha-mishayar dover me-atzmiyuso u-motzi yaso m'chol yachsim Hashem. Kfar kofar ba'achdus Hashem. He has denied the oneness of God. Ukvar ha'ara b'makom acher tamim, tam, the tam, at the Seder. Had to get Pesach in there somehow. Tamim shehu sharsha shal tamim, eino mora rak al ha'havaya shlema b'tachlis, elhu gam shol al kol ha'havaya acheres. So, right, the word tamim doesn't only mean complete, but it also denies any other existence. So Rav Hirsch sees in the fact that an animal has to have can't have a mum, it shows that we have to be all in. And we have to give all that we have, all that we can. We can't hold anything back. It's all or nothing, Judaism. And hopefully, through this, listening to these parshas of Karban, we should be re-inspired to continue to dedicate what we have to the Rabbono Shlom. And through that dedication, we will come close. Once again, I want to mention and thank Howie and Lisa for sponsoring the shiur in memory of Howie's mom, Sima Rubin, in the merit of the learning we did this morning. Sima Osna, Bas Matisio HaKoin, and Neshama Shnev and Aliyah. Abichayim, Akash, Marotz, Akash, Baruch, Hol, Zach, Vizil, Fikir, Rabbom, Tamar, Shamar, Adonai, Chafetz, Aman, Zekoy, Yagdil, Tarav, Yadir, Kaddish. Amen.